Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and once again we say welcome to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table is Sister Mary Ann Williams, and all of you who are listening. Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. How you doing this evening, Mama?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How you doing?
We are doing well. We're doing well. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to the second part of our series on ownership. As some of you may know, who's been with us a while here at the PRF table, ownership is the first lesson, if you will, in PRF program. And one of the things that I was just led to do last week was to really start back at the foundation, because we've talked a lot over the last year and a half on a variety of subjects, and we've stayed on wherever we needed to stay for however long we felt that God wanted us to stay there. So now what we're doing is going back and we're revisiting some of the basic foundations, the basic principles of the PRF program, and these principles are also God's principles as well. So everything that we're bringing to you as a principle, we're bringing to you from the principle of God, and we're allowing Him to use us to be able to expand that further. Last week we talked about, Sister Mary Ann, we talked about the truth and ownership, and we put that it would be best that we bring to the people some biblical truths about what ownership looks like. And the thing that we had to do, we had to take people back, those who were with us, we had to take people back to a biblical foundation, because if we take it back to a biblical foundation, then it has less opportunity for anybody to combat that and say this is not authentic teaching. So what we did when we talked about God's ownership, we came from a couple of different verses. We talked about the 87th Psalm, if I'm not mistaken. We talked about the 50th Psalm, verses 10 through 12, the 29th Psalm, 10 through 13. We talked about Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. So we laid a foundation that everything in this world God created. He created all of the things in this world, the people in this world, the animals in this world, and the ownership connection was the fact that God created them and everything belongs to Him. Yeah. And so it becomes easier to understand this principle of ownership when we have the mindset that everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. So we came from the fourth chapter of Acts. That's another place where we were at last week, the fourth chapter of Acts. And we really just focused on the 32nd, the 33rd, and the 34th verse. And we touched on the 35th and the 37th and 36th and 37th verse. But tonight we're going to really pick it back up there. So before we do that, Mama, was there anything that you wanted to bring to us, any point that was just very, very important for you last week? Because I always believe that when we're talking and having these type of dialogues and engaging in a dialogue and conversations about God and things of this nature, as we do on a PRF table, it's important that we talk about how that affects us. What was it that we felt as we were having this relationship back and forth, all of us who were on the table or sitting at the table last week? So did you have anything that you wanted to bring before the listeners from the conversation last week?
Okay, yes. When you were talking about that everything belongs to God, I thought about when God was speaking to Jeremiah, and he told him that I knew you in your mother's womb. So no one can know us. No, none of us know each other in each other's womb. You know, we don't have that ability. But God told him that, so that lets me know that I belong to God. So if I believe that I belong to God, then everything I have belongs to Him, and I'm to be a good steward over what God has given me. And the benefit of being a good steward over what God has allowed me to have is sharing with others less fortunate than myself. And I don't have to be that concerned about me, myself, and I in my giving, because there's no limit, you know, with God. And God, you know, say giving, it'd be given back to you. You know what I mean? So if I don't know anything for those scriptures, I know that if I give, He says, and if I believe that he's gonna replenish whatever I give, you know. But I have to also be willingly wanting to share. You know, you talked about Joseph, and you know, as we know the story, you know, he was taken captive, and he was still he wasn't rebellious against against the person who you know, had him in captive. He was obedient to what he said. And it was said that he never talked about owning anything, but he became an owner. I mean, captives, the king, the person who captured him, you know, really had trust in him because of the God he served. So he willingly served. He willingly served, and in spite of his persecution, you know what I mean? So this shows how God elevated him, you know, because of his obedience. So that's the same thing what happened to us. If we're obedient to God, when he talks about, you know, we should give, then we're going to be elevated, and we're going to be taken care of. We take care of God's business. He definitely take care of our business in a way that we could never take care of it. And so that's what I get out of that, that the truth about ownership is that everything belongs to God. And the truth is that I'm to be a good steward over what God has given me, because if I'm not, then I won't be able to be that that giver. And even if I willfully and cheerfully want to give, because I'm not a good steward over what God has given me, I won't be able to be effective in that part of my life. Therefore, there's many, many people that God, a harvest out there that God has for me. And, but, you know, they're suffering, you know, because I won't do what I need to do, because when they come across my path, you know, God's still the God, you know, he'll still give me a chance. You know what I mean? And then I can say, wow, if I only had. But you did have, but you didn't be a good steward over it. And like you said, good stewardship is a foundation here. You can't give what you don't have. You know what I mean? And sometimes we don't have a whole lot, but sometimes you can give, you know, in the church sometimes I see a child give a dollar. They'd be so happy with that dollar. You know what I'm saying? So you can just encourage people through our giving, you know. Just encourage them through our giving, because we always say encouraging words to people, I pray for you, et cetera, but people need to feel the love. And so when I give that dollar to that child, their eyes just brighten up, and you know, you see they just hug me and everything, you know, and that helps to make my day, that I help to make their little day, because although they are children, we don't know, you know, they come from different walks of home. Some of them you can tell have been abused. You can just sense some things, you know, but just them to see that, gee, she's thinking about giving me a dollar, and those children just come and hug me, you know what I mean? And that's so special to me. You know, you can't put a price on that, you know. So it's just, I want to be a better steward over what God has given me, and stop saying I don't have to give, because I do have something to give. If it's nothing but 50 cents, I can give that to a child that I see, that I just sense in my spirit, that's having a little rough day. You know what I'm saying? So I thank God for that.
Amen. And one of the things that I will piggyback off of is the fact that, you know, why is what we're talking about important? I'm sure there's many reasons that one can say it's important. But one of the things about it is it speaks directly to this whole notion of stewardship. And I want us to scale back, because it's real easy for us to want to be into that place of stewardship. But if you don't have the proper foundation of ownership, then we can't place the principle of stewardship before somebody and expect them to operate by it.
Mm.
See, it's easy for us because, see, we have a lot of stuff out here, right?
Yes.
Most yet, even people who are homeless have stuff.
Yes.
So a lot of people, a lot of us, many of us in our community, in this world, we have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the stewardship of it is not necessarily the, quote, unquote, the right answer.
Yeah.
It's how you understand stewardship is only going to be based or predicated upon the fact of how you value ownership.
Mm.
And last week we talked about, Shatara brought up possessiveness over possessing. You know, she made that distinction for us. And when we talked about possessiveness, I said, you know what, that is a spirit. That's a spirit. When we look at the fact that I want to have so much because you have it, well, that's covetousness, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a spirit that says, I just want it for me. So I think tonight what we have to do is again, go back and just reel it back in just a little bit. Because I think it's very easy for us to take the conversation of ownership and really start talking about what we have to do when we have stuff.
Yeah.
But God didn't give us what we have just so we can give everything to somebody else.
Right.
And if you don't understand, if I don't understand some of the purpose behind ownership, if I'm not willing to ask the question, why did God give me this house? Why did God allow me to have this car? Well, I can tell you, I have a car that is paid for, right?
Yeah.
It means I don't have a car note in it. So technically, by the world standards, I own that car. I own the car. So something happened several weeks ago. I'm driving to work, and I see one of my coworkers driving in front of me, making a turn onto the major highway. And I said, that's such and such. And then it came back to my remembrance that for about 2 or 3 days before that, I saw this coworker, who was a pastor friend as well, being dropped off at work by his wife. I never thought about it. I didn't know where she was going. She was close by the area. I didn't know any of that. But then something said, hold on. So I called her phone after I saw him go in front of me. I said, hey, man, your wife about to drive you all the way to work? He's like, yeah. I said, man, y'all pull over. Get in the car with me. See, I can't say that I had planned that in my mind, mama.
Right.
It's what the Spirit said. Now, the fact that I owned that car, me owning the car meant nothing. What I did with what I owned meant everything.
That's good.
But I had to allow God and God's spirit to work through me. And can I tell you, we've been riding together ever since? Because we also realized, you know what? It is nothing for me. We live 5 minutes away from each other.
Mm.
So it's really nothing for me to take an extra 5 minutes to go to his house and pick him up on the way.
Mm.
Now, something was going on with his vehicle, one of his vehicles. He was in a little car accident, so it was in the shop. So now he has another car. And so guess what he did yesterday and today? He picked me up.
Wow.
Now, so here's why I'm bringing this up, because it's not always about being in a need, right?
Right.
Yes, we can go through that stewardship piece and say, hey, you have it so that you can take care of it so you can give it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But now what has happened since we have been driving together, our spiritual, our biblical conversations have just been amazing.
Mm.
So we have developed something, a bond between two ministers that would not have, a relationship that would not have been established if not for the fact that I didn't have the mindset, well, this is my car, he gets to work, he gets to work, I get to work, I get to work. But God orchestrated something only because I believe, or one reason is, because of my understanding that if somebody else needs a ride to work, how dare me with the means to get there and not share it? God, you provided it to me. Let's go back to when we were talking about the scriptures.
Yes.
The heavens are yours, the earth is yours, everything in the world is yours. You created it all. Psalm 89, right? Verse 11 through 12. Well, we have to take that spiritual principle in the biblical narrative in the context. God didn't create the type of vehicle that I drive. So when Psalms was written, it wasn't about some of the ways that we think about things that we own today. It was things that he created. But here's the bigger part for me. What he created was people. Remember, it said in the 24th Psalm, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all its people belong to him. So he created the people to have the mind and the intellect and the skills to be able to create, come together, because one person didn't build the car, to come together to put that car together, which provided that means to me. So it's through extension sometimes that we're able to see God's ownership, because we don't see God creating vehicles. We know he created the birds and the animals and all the things that come out of the first chapters of Genesis. That's what we know he created, and anything else that we created. But it is a continual cycle, whether it's from animals, whether it's for people. So I just wanted to bring that out.
Good.
Just to let us know, you know, what we have is not our own. I think I said that. You can only own something when you know, when you realize, or your spirit said that what you own is not yours. I think that's one of those, I'm not puffing myself up, Mom, I promise you, but I think that was one of those moments that as I'm thinking about it, man, he allowed me to have a car that's paid off. Praise God. So since he allowed that to be and allowed me to have a title to a car, who am I not to be there when somebody else has a need? And the fact that he's coming to pick me up from work every day now, because he said, hey, when I get my car, what I'm going to do, man, I want to come in, let you ride for me for a while. Hey, praise God. So now, and this is important, because as a man, we don't usually like to be what the world would call given handouts. So we like to earn our keep, so to speak. So who am I to deny him that blessing of being able to reciprocate a gift of love that I showed to him now that he is able?
Right. That's good.
So my brothers and my sisters, again, ownership is foundational to not just all the lessons of the PRF program, but it's foundational to stewardship.
Okay.
And we can veer off, and we can show you the connection between ownership and stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And we can show you the connection between ownership to stewardship to giving. From ownership to stewardship to giving to tithing, because you do realize giving comes before tithing.
Yeah.
Biblically, it does. I mean, I want to look at it like that. They say, hey, first thing I need to do is tithe. Yeah. You can't tithe unless you understand the principles and the foundations of giving. Because tithing is an act of giving. It's a form of giving. But that's whenever we'll get to that, we'll get to that. So we left off last week in Acts chapter 4.
Yes.
And when we talked about Acts chapter 4, we talked about where it said that, you know, the believers were of one heart mind. They felt that everything they owned was not their own. So we hit on that piece. And then they shared everything they had. And we had a lot of good conversation about sharing everything they had and what that looked like and what that could have looked like. So then apostles, they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, which was an awesome thing. And it was amazing that that particular verse talks about the favor of God was over all of them. All of them.
Amen.
And the last verses that we really just touched on is which we're picking up now. There was no poverty among them because people who owned land or houses sold them, in verse 35 says, and brought the money to the apostles to give to others who were in need. It does not talk about the condition, the financial condition of those who sold their land or houses and brought the money to the apostles.
Right.
Let's make something clear. It doesn't say that they sold their land and had no land left.
Right.
It doesn't say that they sold their houses and had nowhere to stay.
Right.
But let's take it one step further. Let's say they did sell their land and had no more land. Let's say they did sell their house and they no longer had a house. You have to understand that if they did that for this godly principle of giving, if they did that, you know that the Lord had to have taken care of them.
Right.
But not just taking care of them like he did with the Israelites and letting manna come down from heaven. He
right.
had to take care of them through other people who God placed in their life. Maybe some individuals, I don't know how many times this happened. I mean, if you think about it, I don't want to believe that we're only talking about one day.
Yes.
I don't want to believe we're talking about just one day that some, you know, everybody did it all in one day. But I believe that what this was a culture, was a lifestyle for them. And here's what's amazing. There was no directive given that this is what you had to do. Because in verse 32, what it says is the believers were of one heart and mind, or one heart and one soul. So that means they were spiritually connected to be able to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, very critical. We have to be spiritually connected with God to be able to do these type of things of understanding, first of all, first and foremost, understanding. Hey, God, you let me have this, but it's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need to let my mom or my daddy stay with me for a little while, God, you gave me a spare bedroom. Why would I not?
Mm.
Let me hit on one from some other folk. That brother, that nephew, that son, that daughter that gets out of jail.
Good.
Yeah. That church member, let's take it here. That church member that didn't do the right thing by his or her finances, now is getting evicted. You got four bedrooms, and it ain't but one of you. You got three bedrooms, and you still got one extra. One thing I think about, let me give you a good example, because last week what we talked about was, let me give you an example after I say this. And Mom, if you have anything you want to bring in, please do.
Okay.
The last few verses of chapter 4 talked about Joseph, right? One of the apostles, he was nicknamed Barnabas, that was his nickname, son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi, and he came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field, 37, he sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those who had a need. And I mentioned last week that who is the example right now in your community, in your circle, in your life? See, we can look at, wow, look at what Joseph did. But as I alluded to and tried to bring out last week, we need to be able to see real life people, real life examples of operating by the Spirit of God, doing similar things in our own community. I can't tell you too much about Joseph. I may not know anything about Joseph, but I know something about Mary Ann if I see Mary Ann doing something in my community.
Mm-hmm.
I may not can relate to Barnabas. Well, I read it in these verses, and he did a good thing. But how much more effective adding on to the scriptures, bringing it to life, when I'm able to see Brother Feaster actually doing something similar. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
important. Mama, did you have, if you had anything, please go ahead.
Yes, it's just so interesting that you brought up the situation about a jail jail. I know a situation of a family whose the son and he went to jail, and he came out, and the person told them, you know, to say, okay, you can, and, you know, the parents said, okay, you can stay with me. So the son stayed with them. So he would go out looking. He would go out looking for a job, you know, in the mornings. And then when he comes back in, you know, he helped and he did the things that he should do. Well, one day when the father came in and saw him laying on the couch, he just jumped all over him, told him he's lazy, tell him, you know, I'm not raising a man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the child and put the child out in the street. I mean, he's not a child, but to us, he's a child. You know, he put the young man out in the streets as of that moment because he's just saying he's lazy and he's trifling just because he was laying on the couch. So what happens? He goes in the streets and whatnot, and not making excuses for the behavior, but he gets himself in trouble again. So he's in prison. I mean, he's in jail again. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that he better not even think about coming back here living. You know what I mean? No, I'm not taking care, et cetera, et cetera. And so, and I was thinking about that, you know, when I was told that, and I was saying, you know, we all make mistakes, and when you're young, we do foolish things, but it's just the attitude towards this situation is that it is hard. So I've heard when a person gets out of, you know, jail to get a job, you know, and the young man was looking for a job, but just because in the beginning, I'm saying from what I was told, you never wanted the person, you never wanted your son there anyway. You know, so, you know, we have to just, you know, we have to remember that, you know, the person that we mistreated may be the person that have to give us a place to stay. We don't know. And as my grandmother used to say, be careful how you treat people because they may have to give you a glass of water.
Wow. That's true. That's true. For those of you who are just joining us, what we're talking about tonight is the value in ownership. And yes, we have spent a few minutes just really focusing on, you know, where we are from last week to this week. Last week we started off in the Truth in Ownership, the first of a series dealing on ownership, and now we're talking about the value in ownership. So, again, if you're now with us, if you have been listening, there's something on your mind, please just come in and join in and press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you into the conversation because it's not about us just putting out information. It's about everybody being able to participate and, as we always say, have a seat at the table. So let's go back to where we just left.
Yes.
I want to make a distinction because I said at the end of last week's show that we were going to talk about Acts chapter 5.
Right.
But I find it really interesting when we deal with the end of Acts chapter 4, those last two verses. And we have Joseph. Here we have what I just mentioned about Joseph. And he sold a field and he brought the money to the apostles for those who had a need. Here's what I want to just let you know what I just found mind-boggling, just real interesting. This thing was about ownership. He owned this thing. He owned this land. And he was willing to give it away for somebody who had a need. This is not to say that everything that God gives you, that you have to give it away. But what it is saying to me, I'll say to me, is that when God has entrusted you with something that he could have entrusted anybody with, we want to be connected with God so much that when he says release it, we're willing to release it. Mama, you talked about giving. Well, see, it's hard for people to conceptualize giving without understanding about ownership.
Yes, I understand that.
And as I said also, it's not about just giving up stuff just for the sake of giving up. You don't sell a field, real estate, land, houses. You don't do that just to do it.
Right.
You do it because the Spirit of God, and again, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm taking it. This is what I'm receiving from this. You do it because the Spirit of God is connecting with you in a way that when you see or hear about somebody having a need, your spirit says, what can I do? What can I do? And I find it real interesting that he wasn't the only one. He's the only one mentioned by name. The only one mentioned by name. But in verse 34 it said, but people who own land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles' feet. So we only have one written example of somebody who did this thing. Although we got to know there had to have been others, because it says people, not a person.
Right.
So here's what I also found interesting. I find it interesting as we just get ready to just talk about it for a few minutes. We start on chapter 5. It took two verses to give a good example to say, look, this is just what you do. But it took 11 verses to describe what happens when you don't do it the right way.
That's good.
Two verses just to describe a simple biblical principle when the Spirit of God is moving through an individual to do something for somebody else who has a need. But 11 verses to talk about the consequences for doing stuff when you have the wrong perspective of ownership.
That's good.
So tonight, the title of tonight's show is The Value in Ownership. Well,
right.
Your perspective has everything to do with how you value something. Can we just talk about us as people? You know, we talk about possessions, resources, and finances.
Right.
If mama told me all my life I'm not worth anything, then I would have developed a complex. If mama would have said, boy, you're lazy, you don't do this, you never do anything, you always like your daddy, you always like your brother, whatever, and I develop a complex, that shows how much value mama would have had in me. On the flip side, and again, this is me speaking, this is me. On the flip side, how do you think that I would have valued the child that I brought into the world? If it affected me so bad, there's only two ways you can go. You can let it drive you, or you can let it draw you. Drive you away or draw you in. So if it was one of those things where it drove me away from God, it drove me away from believing that I am who God says I am. If it does that, then that's a whole different story. But if it drove me away and I said, you know what, this is the norm. This is how I'm supposed to talk to my child. Then I'm passing on that spirit to somebody who God has given me stewardship over. But I have to understand that God has given me this particular person, this child, to value.
That's good.
So let's talk about Acts chapter 5.
Okay.
So there's a man named Ananias who had a wife named Sapphira, and they sold some property. Sounds good. Sounds just like Joseph, right?
Right.
So they did the same thing. So he brought part of the money to the apostles, but claimed it was the full amount. And it wasn't just him, but it was also his wife that agreed to that.
Right.
So then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. I love when Peter says this. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. There was a choice that Ananias and Sapphira had. It wasn't a bad thing if they would have sold the property and just kept the money for themselves, because God gave it to them. See, there wasn't a requirement that everybody who happened to have land or happened to have houses was required to sell what they had for somebody in need. That's good, because we don't want people to believe that just because you have stuff, and we don't want people to feel guilty that you got to give your stuff and give this because somebody's in need. No, 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 no. Let the Spirit of God lead you.
Amen.
Let the Spirit of God lead you. But this individual, along with his wife, decided to lie not just to the apostles, but first and foremost to God. This is one of those clear indications that whatever we do, God always sees.
Yes.
God always sees. They had a choice. They did not have to bring the money. So let's talk about value. How did they value what they had? It was theirs. Don't know how they got it, but it was theirs. They owned the land. But there was something, and this is what, these are the things that here on the PRF table that we try to hone in on. What made it so that he had to do what he did? When I say had to do what he did, bringing half of the money and giving it to the apostles. See, it's either all or nothing with God. Since he decided to participate in this act, he had to go full throttle. The issue is he didn't bring all that he had.
Right.
Not that he had to bring all that he had, meaning you have 10 houses, you need to sell 10 houses and give to the person that need. But this is what is established. This is what the culture was doing. It doesn't say that anybody told them this is how they had to do it. So there had to be an issue with him believing that he was getting over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He believed that he was getting over. But does it say how Peter found out that he did not bring all the money? We've been teaching on spiritual gifts for about the last 4 weeks at my church. And one of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is discernment of spirits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's amazing that it was the discernment spirit that allowed Peter to be able to know that he only brought half the money to the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So let's continue. After selling it, he tells them, the money was yours to give away. You didn't even have to bring a dime. And there would have been nothing wrong with it if he did not. But he asked him, how could you do something like this? Reality is, you wasn't lying to us, but you was lying to God. Because providing to those who were in need was a God thing, not a man thing.
Good.
Now, here's what it says after this. As soon as Ananias heard these words, we can stop there.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he heard those words, he understood right away what he did. It says after that, he fell to the floor and he died. Can you imagine that happening today? All because of an incorrect perception of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph, I would say, understood God's ownership. The fact that he tried, that Ananias and Sapphira tried to keep something for themselves, lets me know that their perception of ownership was, it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Very big difference. I bring this up. It continues on talking about everybody who heard this. Everybody that heard about what happened was terrified. So the way that we have an understanding and value the things that we own, that God has given us. If we are not willing to do it God's way, it affects not just us individually,
mm-hmm.
not just us individually and our immediate family, not just us individually, our immediate family, but also our community. Because everybody else was fearful. Everybody else was terrified. What in the world just happened to Ananias?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Then some young men that was outside the door, they wrapped him up and they put him in a sheet and they took him out and they buried him.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets really interesting. The reason it's interesting for me is because I don't need the rest of this. We really can stop right there and say that should be enough.
Mm-hmm.
That should be enough to say, you know what? God, all of this belongs to you.
Mm.
I need to do what you want me to do with the things that you have given me. Because remember, stewardship is about managing something. So right here, we're not talking about managing it at all.
No.
They had to have already have managed it in order to have it to be able to give it.
Right.
3 hours later, the wife comes in, Sapphira. She didn't know what happened. So here comes Peter asking her, what was the price that you and your husband sold this land for? How much did you receive? She said, yeah, we sold it for the full price. Peter gives a little bit more than he gave to Ananias. How can you and your husband, how can the both of you conspire? How can you think of doing something like this? Not to me, though. Look at it. Something that's going to test the spirit of the Lord. We don't get away with anything, even when we think we do.
Mm-hmm.
What was amazing was just outside the door, the ones who buried your husband, they're ready to carry you out. And then do you know what really happened?
Mm.
She fell to the floor and died. She had an opportunity. The first opportunity was given to Ananias. But look at what he did by implicating his wife.
Right.
Do you think that if he would have been honest about what happened, there may have been a different outcome?
Yes.
I do, because I believe in grace. So I want to believe that there may have been some grace given just for being honest.
Right.
Just for being honest, just for being truthful. And I think it would have saved his family.
Right.
I think it would have saved his family.
Yes.
Because he would not have been gone.
Right.
He would not have been gone. The fact that now they have to carry her and buried her beside her husband. Now, before, everybody was terrified. But now it talks about there was a great fear.
A great fear.
That ripped through the whole church. And everybody else who heard what had happened.
Mm.
I'm saying all because of a perspective
ownership.
About ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And not valuing the thing that God gave.
Right.
Gave to them, allowed them to have. He allowed them to have it. They didn't do the right thing by it. Mama, go ahead. I've been talking for a while, so please,
oh,
and anybody
God.
Else, if you're listening and you want to jump in, press one of your dial pad. We'd love to hear from you about what we're talking about tonight. Again, the value in ownership, talking from the fourth and fifth chapters of the book of Acts. So, Mama, go ahead, please.
Okay. What's coming into my mind is the power of choice. You know, also that this had to be, it showed the character because you know, and you know, I mean, because I can talk, I can say marriage because they were married, and a lot of times we agree with things with each partners that we really don't want to agree with, but we agreed with it, and we don't want to challenge anything because we don't want to get the spouse, whichever one, upset. So there had to be an environment that was created that, okay, you know, okay, whatever, you know. And to me, it was as though she gave up her power of choice. And she had to have given up that power of choice in her relationship with her husband. And although we know that we are our husband's helpmate, we still are individuals, and we are still accountable for the choices that we make. And we have to stand up for, it could be male or female, either spouse, but we must stand up for what we know is right. And to me, you know, she was, they were just so comfortable with this, you know. They didn't even think about, you know, this is not really the right thing to do. And as you said before, they didn't even have to, they didn't really have to say anything. You know, they didn't even have to participate. So to me, it was like a pride came in there also, you know, because, you know, a lot of times when we're in a group and, you know, everybody's agreeing and say we disagree, we stick out like a sore thumb, so we'll just go ahead and raise our hands and say, okay, yeah, well, I agree. But it was never in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It was never in their hearts. So this just led us, to me, this just let me know that when we agree with things that we know is wrong, as you said, look at the consequence. And she could have been alive. He could have been alive. Because God is a good God, and he gives us a chance. He always gives us a chance. And he was giving him a chance, like you said, the grace. Okay. Just now you have a chance here, you know, and he, you know, because of him being so comfortable in his, what he was doing, because, and another thing, the more we do something that's wrong, the more comfortable we get with it, you know, and so they were comfortable with this life, with this lifestyle, and to me, this shows it right here that, you know, okay, we said yes to please the people so we don't look, you know, won't be the ones that, the only ones that don't want to give, but you know something? You know, we're not going to give. And then, of course, okay, yeah, you're right, honey. We don't have to really, we could just give some of, after all, it is our land. You know what I'm saying? And that was not even the issue at all, you know. But we justify what we do, you know, you know, we want to justify wrong. And so here, I just really stands up with me as being married. We have to... We are accountable, as I said before, we're accountable to God, each one of us, although we are married. And God gave us a free will. And to me, he gave us the power of choice. And when we just throw that power, you know, don't take authority over the power of choice that God has given us in a marriage, then, and agree with all the wrong, you know, then this is what happens, you know. So we have to... have to know that, and another point that was brought out is that, you know, God does know, you know, and a lot of times we go to church and, I just say myself, I can go to church and hear the pastor say something, and I just kind of say, well, yeah, okay, I don't quite understand it, but okay, you know, no, my okay should not be okay. What I need to do is to, you know, to say, now, something's wrong with this, and I really don't agree with it. But once in my heart, I just say, okay, it's okay, okay. Well, then, and I don't really want to do it, you know, then there go a lie, because I'm really lying. Because God is the one that knows what I'm doing. My blessings are going to come to him, and my blessings are conditional. His love for me is unconditional, but my blessings depends on my obedience to God. And here we see the consequences of their disobedience to God. And like you said, it took two verses, you know, to just to introduce. But it took took 11 verses to describe the wrong. Because God wanted, and to me, God wanted us to see that he is God and he's not playing. And when he says something, you know, yes, he's a God of mercy, and yes, he's a God of grace, but you know, there's consequences to what we do, and sometimes those consequences come in really quick. And this was a quick consequence. I mean, it was quick. That's all I have to say.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to say that all of that was great. That you guys, I came in the middle of some really good teaching, and I, after listening, I was actually reminded of the scripture in Matthew about the talents. So the value of wealth, or you know, speaking on a topic of ownership and
mm-hmm.
how it relates. It, to me, I can look at that scripture, or Matthew 25 and 14 specifically, and see it in a natural. Should I read it, or?
Go with it. Go with it. We don't.
Okay.
Some people may not know. May never read.
Okay,
Bible.
So yeah, that's why I was wondering. Okay, so starting at the 14th verse, it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them. And he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." Okay, so ultimately, after that, I'll summarize the rest. The one who had the 1 talent, he just gave his master back the 1 talent.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who had, or the 2 men who had, you know, the 5 and the 2 talents, they went and made more money based off of, or more, they brought back more talents.
Right.
So ultimately, the master was upset with the person who didn't do, multiply the talent, essentially, because he said that those who he gave much, they were faithful over much, that he gave them something to start with, and they were faithful over it, so he will give them more, essentially, is what it says. But the person
right.
who had the 1, instead of him going, he wasn't faithful with the 1, so he was basically, you know, scorned, reprimanded, and for on the natural side of it, if you look at that, if you're handling your business with what God has allowed you to have, meaning when you see the need, you are meeting the needs of others, whatever it may be. It does not necessarily have to be natural, financial, I mean. But when you see the need and you're meeting the need, then you will continuously be blessed with more. So once you release it, you'll be blessed with more. Spiritually, it takes me back to what you were just talking about, the scriptures that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you are meeting the needs again spiritually, be it prayer and, you know, fasting, listening, whatever, you will also be blessed with more. The key is to know that what you have physically, I mean, naturally, financially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, is all by the grace of God. Everything is by the grace of God. So what you own, your mental health, your bank accounts, all of that is not yours. So it's loaned to you, so to speak, for you to multiply it. For you to multiply, you know, if you have peace and you know somebody that's trouble, and you give and you speak peace into them for whatever reason, you talk to them and speak peace into them, your peace multiplies, because even knowing that you've helped somebody establish a relationship with God and now they have peace, the peace will spread more. So I'm looking at it from both perspectives, like I said, naturally and spiritually, that when you are, when you're allowed, God allows you to be a steward over something. And you are a good steward, and you value what you own to the place where you will go out and invest it to multiply it, then you're that much more blessed. So that's just my piece. That's what I'm grabbing.
Chantal, I think that is so valuable, because we know that there are more people. I mean, we have a lot of listeners. We thank God for it. And we know that they come from all different backgrounds, religious, races, countries. We had somebody from a foreign country I was able to see on the switchboard listening a little while ago. We have a diverse listening audience. And, again, we thank God for it. So I'm saying that to say there is a value in us talking about the value in ownership by bringing up the spiritual and the natural.
Right.
Jesus dealt with people where they were. So if we only talk about the spiritual and not give any understanding or any knowledge about the natural, then we got a whole bunch of folk that's going to be missed.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't understand spiritual things. So that's one thing that I just love about the show. We have to be real with folk, because we don't know all of you who are out there listening. When the show goes off at 9 or 9:15, whatever the show time we end on that day, we have listeners that are, because these shows are archived, somebody can be listening to the show at 3 o'clock in the morning and not have the opportunity to necessarily have a conversation with us live on the air. So we have to be willing to talk about, as we do on a PRF table, the spiritual side and the natural side. The story that we read out of Acts chapter 5 was about the natural. They had a natural thing. They did a natural thing with it. But there was a connection between doing that natural thing and how it affected them spiritually, which also affected them in the natural.
Right. Right.
So the physical or the natural and the spiritual are always teetering back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We're not communicating 100% in the spirit. Whether we're preaching, whether we're doing the PRF table, whatever it is, we're always bringing some of us into whatever it is. That doesn't make it a negative thing, and it doesn't make it a bad thing. It just makes it a life thing. It just makes it a real thing.
Right.
And to me, it's a blessing when we're able to do something like that. I think it takes a lot from the scriptures that we read in Acts chapter 4 and 5. It took a lot less energy just to do the right thing. So we want people to do the right thing by the things that God, the possessions and the resources and the finances that God has provided to all of you who are listening.
Right.
We want everybody, that's our heart. I believe that's the heart of God as well, that you value the things that he has given. We know, however, that it may take a little more teaching for some, or it may only take one instance for one person.
Right.
So we have to just be willing to stand on the battlefield, if I could say it like that. We have to be willing to stand in the gap for individuals who may not be able to connect the spiritual side of what we're talking about. If they're able to get it from the natural, then we allow God to do what they want is spiritual. I got a comment from a good friend of mine, a pastor of the Christian Life Center, who says, Jason Johnson, what was done in the natural affected them spiritually that affected them naturally. Wow. I promise you, I don't write all this stuff down, y'all. I really try to let God lead me. But we have to be willing to see what is really going on in the scriptures and then be able to apply it to our individual lives. So as we get ready to wrap up for this evening, I go back to the question. I posted this on the blog talk page. How does having a proper perspective about ownership contribute to your potential for wealth? Go ahead.
I think it's detrimental to your wealth, having the proper perspective. I mean, it'll make or break it because, and again, not the financial wealth, but, you know, well-being, holistic well-being, like spiritually being connected with, and in tune with God, obedient, you know, being ready to act when at the unction of the Spirit, you know.
Right.
That's it. That's invaluable. That's invaluable. So understanding that your wealth is a conduit, so to speak, to reach the people, reach the lost.
Yeah.
To win people to Christ, or, you know, give them the connection to God. So that's why I feel like it's detrimental. I mean, that's the key. Understanding, you know, that they're all tools. Everything that you're blessed with is a tool to be used for God's glory. So, and it does not belong to you. It's loaned, so to speak, or it's granted to you, but for use, not just for you to hog it and hold it all to yourself. So,
you know, I used to have a problem with that word ownership, especially when God started first speaking to me back in 2008 and getting me, you know, prepared to with PRF. And I used to think about ownership, and I had a wrong perspective about ownership. I was like, look, everything God owns, everything that I have, God owns it, God owns it, God owns it. And I don't own anything. That's how I used to come at it, y'all. I'll just be transparent.
Yeah.
But then I realized that wasn't biblical, and it sure wasn't spiritual. He owns everything. He created everything. But there are some things that I own that God did not give me.
True.
So I can't apply the same principle of stewardship over the things that God did not give me. Let me give you a good example of that. As a husband, I don't own my wife, right? She belongs to God.
Right.
But I do have some level of oversight, if you will. Hope that's not the wrong word for some people that are super critical and spiritual. But I do have some ownership or some oversight, excuse me, for her well-being, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's take that. Let's think about that. I have that. Now let's go back to something that Jesus said to the woman at the well. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but when he approached the woman at the well, he was talking to the woman. And he said, you've had five husbands, and the one right now is not your own. Mm-hmm. She thought she had something with the five that were not hers. A wrong perspective. God ain't going to give you nobody else's husband. God ain't going to give you nobody else's wife.
Right.
So I can't be a steward, Shatara, over
right,
some
over
other chip.
Right. I got you.
That ain't my baby.
I got you. Yeah.
You can't be obedient to some other dude
right.
who got a wife.
Right.
So there is, and I'm saying all that to say, there is some level of understanding that we have to have and say, yes, I do own some things.
Right.
But the proper perspective is I can't value nothing that God did not give me. Maybe going into next week's show.
Okay, I got you.
I can't value it. I can't rob a bank, get that money, and then talk about the Lord blessed me.
Right.
This ain't about like a Robin Hood type of thing.
Right.
And then go out and do a Nino Brown and think I'm blessing the community because I'm giving away turkeys at Thanksgiving. Come on. So my perspective was a little bit warped. God had to work with me. So I'm bringing up these things because that potential for wealth, God is the type of God that is ready to bless his children. He's ready to bless his children. But he's only going to bless his children for the things that he knows we can handle. If I'm, let me give this, this is one of the moments. There was a time that I considered selling drugs back when I was young because there were some things that I saw Q, there were some things that I saw Jody, there were some things that I saw some cats in my neighborhood having. Being 15, 16 in high school, a brother who has a car, he owns something to me. To my mind, he owns some stuff. I didn't have some things. My perspective about ownership was, however I can get it, I'm going to get it so that I can own this thing. Because if I own this thing, then I now become more valuable to the people outside. So people respected Q. People respected Jody. People respected some of the other ones that got killed. But they didn't value them. They saw the things that they had, and that was it. But their perspective, I would say, was warped about ownership. Because with ownership, you work hard to get what you got. Do it the right way to get what you got. You allow God to bless you because you're doing some of the right things. Y'all get me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my brother said, you preaching Sunday.
Yeah. It's good. It's all good.
Yes, it is.
We have to... You know, let's just continue to follow our heart of wanting people to have the proper perspective about ownership. Because if the perspective is wrong, it can lead to death like it did in Acts chapter 5.
Right.
However, if the perspective is right, it will lead to life as it was at the end of Acts chapter 4. Mm-hmm. See, what we don't see after the last verse in chapter 4, is we don't see how many people came to Christ. We don't see how many lives were actually touched from the need being met. We don't see how the gospel was spread from that forth on. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't see because the chapter ends. Sometimes it may not be for us to see it. Sometimes it may just be for us just to do our part. In that proper perspective of ownership, man, I'm telling you, I promise you, I would, if I didn't have the right perspective about ownership, and not saying that I have it all the time, every time, right? There's some things that I just like to have. And I'm not a perfect steward over my money. But I sure as heck know that what God has given me, he's given me to help bless somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
The fact that he's given me a home to live in, where I can sit there and study, not outside under the stars. And when somebody needs a place, like my partner that came in, this is my last point, y'all. I'm going to let y'all talk for real. A partner of mine who I've known since 1995 was going through something. Has been going through for a little while. Has some issues. And my partner sends me a text earlier in the week. And he said, hey, what you got going on Saturday? And you know me, go get my hair cut, you know, and then whatever, whatever. I don't know, just, you know, you coming up? Yeah, I'm going to come up. Then on Friday, he hit me back. You got anything going on tomorrow? I guess, you know, he wanted to check and make sure my schedule was still clear. And here's what he says to me. He said, bruh, yeah, I'm coming up. I just don't need to be alone right now. It's a man, y'all. And so we hung out that day, and it wasn't me that said, hey, bro, you want to stay till tomorrow? Because I didn't know what was going on. But it was my wife who opened up our home. I'm pumping gas. They on the phone talking. And I can hear her talk. Well, you know, you can stay if you got a spare bedroom, da-da-da-da-da. And when my brother, now, let me also say this. I wasn't so quick to say, hey, man, you need to hurry up and come to church because it's Sunday. But I did offer because he was leaving the next day, kind of early. But when he got back home, he sent me a text and he said, you know, tell your wife, thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for opening up your home. And then when he got settled in, he sent me a very long email. And I promise you, it almost had me to tears. I mean, I just didn't cry, but I was really touched like that. But if I would have had the wrong perspective of ownership, we could take a lot of lessons from what I just said. But if I had the wrong perception of ownership, if my perception was, you know, my house ain't as clean as I want it to be right now. If it was, you know what, I really like my space. Good gracious, I know somebody is speaking about, is feeling that one right there. I really like my space. Yeah. What happens when you don't have that space no more, if not for yourself, but for nobody else? So it was a blessing to me to be able to have this, to have a home, to be able to offer a spare bedroom to somebody who I say we're brothers. Mama, we got about 7 minutes left on the show, okay. So you got about a minute and a half. And in Mama time, I think that's about 45 seconds.
Okay. As I'm just really summarizing the whole show, since we've been talking about ownership, I say, you know, honest, the word honest come up in my mind. Be honest with God. I know right from wrong. We have the, and we know, even a child knows when they're right and when they're wrong. And if we'll just do what we know is right, like you say, everyone's not going to believe the way we believe. But all of us know when we're doing something right and we know when we're doing something wrong. And I can say for me, before I got saved, I knew I was doing wrong things. You know what I mean? But my saying was that, you know, hey, you know, I am not hurting nobody. I'm not bothering nobody. You know, that was my excuse, you know, for wanting to do what I wanted to do. And so here in chapter 5, it talks about it's really the same thing, just doing what they know is right to say and be honest. If they didn't want to do it, then they shouldn't do it. But because of, you know, when you get in, like I said, when you get in a group, we just agree so that, you know, we can be counted instead of just being honest. And see, God wants integrity. He just wants us to be honest. You know, if you don't want to do something, you don't want to do it. And one more point I want to make is that ownership, since I've been listening and understanding ownership, is that God owns me. I belong to him. And his expectations is for me to just do what I know is right to do. And things that I don't know, if I want to learn the truth, I will learn the truth. Now, I didn't know about ownership and all that, but now I'm learning the truth because it's something that I needed to understand, that I belong to him. So to get more connected, to say, you know, mm-hmm. God, I know you're watching me. You know, really just get that in my spirit, that when I do, you don't even know what I'm going to do before I do it. But I need to know that,
yeah.
You know, God is such a good God, an awesome God. The word awesome belongs to God. He's such an awesome God, and he's so merciful and so graceful. Then I want to do the right thing. You know, help me to do the right thing. Help me, Lord, to make the right choices, even when they're not in my favor. Amen.
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 Shatara, anything? Go ahead, please.
I just want to say real quick that in light of your clarification, mm-hmm. I'm going to say this statement, make this statement, that God, the things that God allows us to own, that he provides for us, that he blesses us with, understanding, if we could just get the understanding that we are created for his purpose, we're here for his purpose,
mm-hmm.
right, for his will, the things that he blesses us to own or allows us to be stewards of are mm-hmm. supposed to be tools. It's supposed to be tools for his glory. And I'm just going to end it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it needs any more clarification than that. Just period. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to serve him. We're here for his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And he allows us, and we all have different tools. Everybody doesn't have all the same tools in the toolbox. But he has an express purpose for each of us being here. And those things that he allows us to own are tools for his purpose so we can glorify him. And if we keep that in mind and that, you know, my Beamer is not my Beamer because I'm rolling like that. and it may be that you have it because the person that you pick up may have had the wrong perspective with the things that they were allowed to own, and maybe they had a Beamer just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to give them a ride to church on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
or you see them in the store and they don't have enough money to get the groceries that they have on the counter, what you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they just got evicted from their house. And you don't know them that well, but you know them fairly well. What you going to do with the things that God allowed you to own?
Mm.
That's it. That's all I have.
Wow. Well, look, we thank everybody who has been listening to the PRF Table tonight. On behalf of myself, Shatara, Sister Marianne, a.k.a. Mama, all of you who have been listening, Pastor Jason Johnson, thank you for your comments online. And he posted something that I think what I'm going to do is also, I'm going to read it as we close out tonight's show, but I'm also going to post it on the PRF page. He posted this comment for us. Steve Lawson says, "You must transfer the ownership of all that you are and all that you have to all that he is. Your life is no longer your life. It is now his life. Your time is no longer your time. It is now his time. Your possessions are no longer possessions. They are his possessions. Your future is no longer your future. It is now his future. Your treasure is no longer your treasure. It is his treasure. and you have transferred all that you are and all that you have to all that he is. The exchange is not bartered or bought with real money, but it is purchased with a total, complete surrender of your life to Christ. That's what saving faith is. It is coming to the end of yourself and completely and entirely and trusting all that you are and all that you have to all that he is. So until next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we wish that you would just come back and join us. Visit us on Facebook, like our page. It is possessions.resources.finances. Until next week, we love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and God bless.